This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The news of geoeconomics today, that's my counter to geopolitics, by the way, for you national security types. Anyway, the news comes from Argentina, the G20 meeting down there this coming weekend, the world's 20 leading economies, at which, as it stands now, anyway, President Trump is going to have a sit down with Chinese President Xi Jinping. There may or there may not, we don't really know, be a deal in the offing to walk back part of the trade war. But there is an historical echo of sorts in this whole thing from 30 or 40 years ago, when the Asian economy that Americans were worried about wasn't so much China, but Japan. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has the trade timeline.
American concerns about our trade relationships and Japan specifically started brewing in the 1970s, but really took hold in the 1980s. Japan's economy was booming. Its exports were growing rapidly. Cars like Honda and Toyota, semiconductors, consumer electronics like video recorders and Walkman. Meanwhile, in the early 80s, the U.S. was in recession, caused in part by the Federal Reserve raising interest rates to combat double-digit inflation.
A lot of blue-collar workers in manufacturing were hit hard.
Doug Irwin is a trade economist and historian at Dartmouth College.
The unemployment rate went way up, and so trade got some of the blame for that, particularly in autos.
In 1981, the Reagan administration got Japan to limit the number of cars it sold to the U.S., what's known as a voluntary export restraint. There was one for steel as well, and throughout the decade, the U.S. imposed tariffs on semiconductors and other goods it thought Japan was dumping on the U.S. market, selling at unfairly low prices. In 1984, trade was a presidential election issue.
Walter Mondale, who's the Democratic presidential nominee running against Ronald Reagan, famously said that, what are our kids going to be doing, sweeping up around Japanese computers and things like that?
President Reagan, 1986.
Our patience with unfair trade isn't endless, and we're taking action to bring other nations back in line to ensure that free trade remains fair trade.
Irwin says Japan accepted U.S. trade restrictions without retaliating because it was an ally dependent on the U.S. for military security. That doesn't mean the U.S. won, exactly. Take the example of cars. The restrictions did boost domestic auto sales and encourage some Japanese automakers to move production to the U.S. But
because Japan was restricted in how much they could sell, it sort of fostered the rise of Korea's industry. So we started importing more cars from Korea, even as we were importing fewer from Japan.
But also, despite all these efforts, the U.S. trade deficit with Japan continued to grow. Most economists don't view trade deficits as an inherent problem, but to the extent that these policies were supposed to close that gap, they just didn't.
But by the time we got to the late 1990s, the United States was much less worried about this.
Lee Brandstetter, an econ professor at Carnegie Mellon, says Americans just sort of outgrew their concerns about Japan.
In the 1980s, Americans were really worried that the United States was no longer on top anymore, right? We were no longer making the best technology. And it wounded our national pride.
Fast forward a decade.
A lot of our worry about failing to be a technological leader subsided, right? I mean, in the 1990s, it was really American companies that were inventing this new world of the internet and e-commerce. The Japanese were playing catch up.
Japan was entering its lost decade. Its bright, shiny economy faltered. Brandstetter says, as an economic competitor, it just wasn't so scary anymore.
The concerns with respect to China are, I think, a little different.
China hasn't agreed to U.S. trade demands. It's retaliated with its own trade protections. China is not a U.S. ally.
There are geopolitical reasons to be concerned about China's technological and economic rise that didn't exist with respect to Japan.
So while there are parallels between the two trade tensions, the differences make the Japan model rather unique. Brandstetter says maybe the U.S. could grow its way out of trade tensions with China like it did with Japan, but that kind of sustained growth seems unlikely. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.